First up, we're going to bring Miss Lindsay up, our children's pastor. Miss Lindsay, everybody.
Good morning. If I could have all the kids come up here with me for a minute, we're going to sit here and I'm going to read y'all a cool story. So who can tell me, what did we talk about last Sunday? Anybody? Who did we talk about last Sunday? We talked about baby Jesus, you're right. But there was another baby that we talked about. Who was the other baby we talked about? Right, John the Baptist. Because who was John the Baptist, Silas? Do you remember? He was born right before Jesus, remember? Yeah. Who was John the Baptist to Jesus? Who was he? His cousin, right. He was his cousin. And why was the birth of John the Baptist important? Can you remember? Right, he told people Jesus was coming, didn't he? Yeah, that was John's job. That's why we learn about John's birth too. And it was really important to whenever he was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, remember? Yeah. Okay. So today I'm going to read you guys the story of when Jesus was born, because that follows when John was born, right? Okay. In those days, a decree was sent out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be registered, to each to his own town. And Joseph also went from Galilee, from the town of Bethlehem, in Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, how far away was Nazareth from Bethlehem? How far was it? It was 90 miles. Now, raise your hand if you're going to visit family this week for Christmas. Well, right, but your family that's coming to visit you, do they have to drive a long ways?
Yeah.
Yes, they have to drive a long ways. But they get to get in their warm cars, don't they? They get to get in their warm cars. Do you know that Mary and Joseph walked 90 miles? Do you know how long that probably took them? How many days do you think it took them? No, not that long. It probably took them about a week to walk all that ways, and it was probably cold outside. Yeah. Yeah. So, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, when your family comes to visit you, where do they stay? Yeah, in your living room? Where does your family stay? In a guest bedroom? Where did Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus stay? Yeah, they stayed in a barn. When babies are born today, where do you put them when they're born? In the hospital? Yeah, in a bed that's really nice and warm. Where did Jesus sleep? He slept on hay in a food trough. What happened? What was happening close by? Do you remember? Yeah. While Jesus was being born, let's read on. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. They were scared, weren't they? They had no clue what was happening. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. Don't be scared. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Everyone in the world, this story is for them. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths." Now, what does that mean? What does swaddling cloths mean? Yeah, he was just wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." What is a multitude of heavenly hosts? What does that mean? What do you think that means? There were so many angels, the whole sky was full of angels. The whole sky. And they said, "Glory to God in the highest." Can you imagine seeing that? Yeah. Can you imagine looking up into the dark sky? They didn't have street lights. It was pitch dark out in the middle of a field. And all of a sudden, the whole sky was full of angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Can you imagine how amazing that was? That was such a cool moment. I would have loved to have been one of those shepherds. "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And then they went with haste." What does haste mean? Yeah, they were in a hurry. "And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." She was his mommy. Mary was Jesus' mommy, and she thought about all these things, and they were so important to her every moment sitting in that barn. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and as it had been told them. And at the end of eight days, when he was circumcised, he was called" what? What'd they name him? Jesus, the name that was given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Isn't that amazing? Every part of that is so all God. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So this Christmas, we're going to focus on how important God orchestrated all of Jesus' birth. Because why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? Yeah, to save us. Yeah. Because he loved you. So remember this story and think about it throughout the next couple days as we're celebrating Christmas and as we're getting together with our families. Yeah, it was his birthday. And think about it as you're traveling to see family and how far Mary and Joseph had to walk to see their family. Yeah, that's a long way to walk. And she was pregnant. Yeah, that's a hard walk. Yeah. So we are going to go over here to this table, and I have a present for each of you. And we're going to make a Christmas ornament so that we can remember Jesus' birth. It's a Christmas ornament that has a picture of the barn that Jesus was born in. So we're going to go over here and we're going to make these crafts, and Pastor Jeff is going to come up and he's going to talk to your parents, okay?
Thank you, Miss Lindsay, and thank you, boys and girls. Some of our most prized and most precious Christmas ornaments come from things like this. Ingredients like little toothpicks, or they're not using toothpicks, sorry. Bad example. Glitter, lollipop sticks, and ribbons and buttons and things like that. I was reminded of this. We have one of those precious little Christmas ornaments. I'm sure that most all of us have one of those handmade Christmas ornaments. We have one too. Susie, if you could show a picture of that. That is one that we have had for years and years and years. Jill and I have been married, I think we're going to hit 34 years this year. And thank you. We've had that Christmas ornament for as long as I can remember. Jill picked that up when she was a little girl. They were had a period in their life where they were really poor. They went to the Salvation Army building when she was a little girl, and they allowed her to pick out a Christmas ornament that was on the Christmas tree to take home with them. She picked this one out of the shiny, mass-produced Christmas ornaments that's all professionally made, and she picks this one because it's precious. There's some creation in it. There's some handcraftedness. There's some love that goes into something like this. And sometimes I'm sure that some of our Christmas ornaments that we've kept through all the years, the ones that we've kept safer than the ones that we've paid for, the ones we've kept longer than the ones that we've purchased, those ones to some people might actually be hideous. They might be terrible. Like, what is this thing? Have you ever picked up those? What in the world is this Christmas ornament? But to those that know the story, it has no value because it's priceless, because it's so precious. They've kept it safe for so long. Now, I said that Jill picked this up when she was a little girl. Now, that was maybe, I think, 10 years ago. But still in just the... But we've had that all of those 10 years. All of those years, we've kept it safe, and it's precious. It's handcrafted. And I thought, you know, because last year we did this too. We had the kids, and they gathered together, and they built things, Christmas ornaments. And I dare say that there's probably those same Christmas ornaments still floating around on your Christmas tree this year that was made right over here last year, because they're just precious like that. And I got to thinking about that, and it's the same for our God, I believe. Because we are handcrafted. You are made with special ingredients by love, by grace, by righteousness and salvation and forgiveness. Turn with me in the book of Jeremiah, if you would, please. I want to kind of get a picture of the heart of God in his creation of his people. And I believe that will show us his heart for us. We are his people. Each of us, original creations. In Jeremiah 1, he says this, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This is God talking to Jeremiah. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. I want you to go to chapter 18 in that same book, and let's look further at this idea. I call it the heart and the art of God. Jeremiah 18:1. This is the story of when God sent Jeremiah to the potter's house. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my words to you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Handcrafted. Isaiah, another great prophet in the Old Testament, also wrote this in Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, he says, you are our father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. And you are potter. And all of us are the work of your hand. I think sometimes we forget. It's just too easy to forget in this busy life that we are handcrafted by God. We were made. Now, of course, we read in Genesis 1 that he made us physically. God created man in his own image. But there's a continuing process of creativity in each one of us, in our spirits. We grow, and he creates within us. Paul also writes about this. Ephesians 2:10. Paul says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see, there's a purpose that goes along with being created. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And he says it also in 2 Corinthians 5:17 to link with that scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, see, in Ephesians, he says, you're created in Christ. 2 Corinthians, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Now, you may be asking, okay, interesting, but why is this realization so important to us? And what do we do with this information? The fact that we are handcrafted, personalized, each and every one of us in a very unique way. I believe that when we realize each one of us personally, we are made with thought and planning and love and grace, we begin to see ourselves with the greater potential and a greater importance. When we realize that the craftsmanship of us, all that makes us who we are, it included the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice of his only begotten son, and the investment of God's spirit that he put inside of us when we became Christian, we begin to see a greater love and a greater potential, something that's more useful. When we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives and we repent and turn our backs on our past and on our sins, we allow God to handcraft us into something more lovely, something that will serve a bigger purpose than just feeding ourselves throughout the day. Ephesians 4 and 23. If you'll turn there with me, if you would, please. Ephesians 4 and 23. Oh, see, they're going to already hang some on there, on the Christmas tree. Paul says, And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness. When we became Christians, we're created in righteousness and in holiness of truth. Another one, Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Not only are we handcrafted, not only are we made physically, But our craftsmanship that makes up who we are continues to progress. It continues to grow. He's not through with you yet. And the good thing is there's nothing that you have done in your life that can overpower God's purpose for you. Regardless of who you've been, where you've been, or what you've done, when you turn your back on your past and you repent of your sins, God wipes that slate clean and you get to regain your purpose. You get to regain something that God has for you to do. Because I believe each of us, regardless of who we are, what we look like, or how old, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. When we begin to go through life and forget that God has something for us to do individually, then we begin to forget our potential, and now we're just living life. I don't want to live life, just to live life. We're not designed to just, you know, you grow up, you get married, you have kids, work at a job, and you die. And we're not designed for that. Our physical bodies might be designed for that, but we're a new creation. We're brand new. We now have a purpose. We now have a destiny that goes far beyond what we're just going to pull off living a casual Christian life. I want to be something more phenomenal than that. I want to do more than just make it to heaven. Amen? And that's what we're created for. You see, as these kids today, and they're making stuff, and I don't know what all they're using, stickers and buttons and things like that. There's also an ingredient that we have to choose for ourselves as well. God may have created us, but there's an ingredient that we have to add to this creation, and that is Jesus. Until we complete his craftsmanship with the blood sacrifice of Jesus, we're not going to reach our full potential. We're going to be lackluster. And that ingredient can only be added by us. And that's the blessing, Christmas time, the ultimate sacrifice. He lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, defeated death and hell. He was raised again to life on the third day. Now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for each one of us, and he's coming back again. And I'm going to be ready, and I want you to be ready. But you have to add that ingredient to the craftsmanship that God is making within you. You are the one that has to decide for Jesus. I want to be a Christian. I want Jesus, the Lord of my life. John 3:16, we've probably all heard it. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you that much. It's important for us to realize the craftsmanship of love and grace and mercy that it went in to create each of you. Amen. And remember that we have to choose that final ingredient. If you would, bow your heads with me, please. If you're here this morning and you feel like you haven't chosen that final ingredient, you haven't chosen a life of Christianity, maybe you haven't chosen Jesus as your Savior, and it feels like it's hitting you hard in your heart today. Today's the day for you to become a Christian. I want you to raise your hand if you find yourself in that boat. make today the day that you take advantage of the greatest gift of all times and ask Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. All right. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time of year. I thank you for the wonderful sacrifice, unimaginable, what that was like. Just unthinkable to know what was in store for your only begotten Son, so that I could be part of your family, so that I would have everlasting life. Throughout this year, God, I pray that you keep us all reminded of this special gift, and we never take it lightly, this holiday that we celebrate this time of year. We never take it lightly, but it's a huge offer, a huge sacrifice and blessing that we get to experience life as a son or daughter of the Most High God because of the sacrifice that you gave during this time of the year. We love you and thank you so much. If you would stand with me, I want you to do something with me. We're going to put scriptures on the screen, and I'm going to read one, and then you're going to read one as a congregation. Are you ready? It's found in Psalms 139, and we're going to start with verse 13. And I'll read 13, you read 14, and I'll read 15, and so on. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Remember this, you are designed by God, handcrafted for a purpose. You are a pretty big deal to God. Remember that. Let that sink in. Don't let anyone else or even your own self ever tell you any different because you are a big deal to God. So this week, take with you the ability to impact lives everywhere you go, and you are dismissed. I love you. Merry Christmas.